Okay, and this is December the 15th, the second lecture of the day, the evening lecture. Today we're going to take up just a little bit more of what we're talking about in the earlier lecture, and that is to say this occluded case. Now, the only reason the occluded case gets any attention at this time or at this level is simply because many auditors get balked and tripped in auditing, and many cases bog at a certain point. That is to say, a certain type of case bogs, and it has a tendency to make an auditor be very leery of his techniques. He's very certain they exist, and then he runs across some case which just sits there. So I was talking to you today about the covert responses and about the problems of havingness of this very occluded case. I didn't have too much opportunity to give you all of the data, so we're going to go into it in the first part of this lecture this evening. Now, I talked about energy. His problem is one of energy consumption. Energy consumption rather than energy production. A person is causative as long as his energy production is greater than his energy consumption. That is, a thetan is in good condition. There is a ratio on this. A thetan mustn't exceed his inflow-outflow ratio of 50%. That is, see, he's got to inflow as much as he outflows in order to be in concourse with the rest of beingness and to have effects himself. And he has to outflow as much as he inflows in order to maintain a constant size with relationship to other particles around him. Not that he's a particle, but constant size relationship, particle to particle. He is maintaining, let us say, a body. Well, actually, he would have to put out as much energy in maintaining the body himself as the body consumed for the thetan to be in good condition. And there you have the formula of how to handle a body so that it does not deteriorate. That's maybe too fast and too quick, but if you can get the body to put out 50% of the amount that it takes in, why, it's in good condition. And if the thetan is running the body, that is running the body, receives no more than 50% of his effects from the body and puts out 50% of the outflow toward the maintenance of the body remains his, and he remains balanced and in good condition. But, of course, you get a thetan who has long been below this ratio, and he gets into all sorts of situations where he himself doesn't feel that he can handle energy. The reason he can't handle energy is that energy handles him. There's no more explanation for it than that. Now, a thetan gets outside of his body, and he goes into various difficulties. He grabs hold of the wall and sticks to it. He puts out a beam and he can't let it go. He gets back of the head, he can't let go of a beam. His trouble is line trouble, whether he recognizes it or not. It's not terminal trouble so much as line trouble. He gets up these lines and he can't cut them. He can't arrest electrical motion going through them. He gets in trouble, in other words. And each time, he is convinced of his own inability. And the moment he's convinced of his own degradation or inability, he'll make some sort of a postulate regarding his own inability, having watched his performance with the energy, and very often pop back into the body, sort of an apathy. This is a routine reaction on the part of a preclear, simply because the auditor has not specialized on the production of space and other things while exterior, while the thing was exteriorized. You have to run through 8C pretty well. If you do run through 8C pretty well, you rehabilitate to a good extent the ability of the thing to outflow. Now, SOP8O specializes in outflow, and it specializes in the receipt of effects on a 50% basis, but it first goes in for outflow, and it specializes in overall on outflow and inflow. Now, what is the problem of the thing? His agreement with the body is such as to bring to him the pattern of agreement to which the body has agreed. In other words, the thetan, one step removed, has now agreed with the process of energy consumption. And having agreed with this, he, of course, is getting an almost total energy consumption and no energy production. And as a result, he becomes degraded. Now, the actual emotion of degradation, the emotion itself, degradation, is not being able to handle space and energy. A person who can't maintain two terminals and a line between feels degraded. Various things happen to his energy. It gets too thick. It gets unmanageable in one way or the other. And when this occurs, or when he starts sticking to walls and things like that, he feels degraded. And it all comes about from a recognition of the absence of power. And this recognition results in this emotion called degradation. When you have an individual degraded as a Thetan, he has recognized this once too often. Therefore, self-respect and pride go immediately back to the necessity of energy production. Not energy produced for one, you understand, but I mean actual energy production. Now, what kind of energy production? If we have space, we must have barriers. So, yeah, that takes the anchor points to delineate the space. So space is almost immediate with energy in form of production. It would be very difficult to produce energy without producing space, to produce space without producing energy, if one were going about this any way at all. And the Thetan, who starts putting out power in space, which is not his, is trying to ignore the fact that he hasn't made space and is using some other space in which to make the energy, and doesn't believe then that the energy is making any space. It's just sort of being used in some fashion or another. So he falls into immediate competition with the meshed universe when he makes this energy. He, in other words, is making it in meshed universe space, and he goes into competition with it, and if he does this too quickly and too immediately, he finds himself feels very bad. He feels quite degraded about it, because it isn't as, quote, beefed up as meshed universe energy. It's one of the first things that's noticeable about it, and it isn't as controllable as energy in electrical lines. Well, that's not important. The point is, the Thetan exteriorizes, starts to handle some energy, starts to handle some space one way or the other, and can't handle it and feels degraded. But if he gets down to the point of putting out an energy beam and then getting it stuck and not being able to get it unstuck or something like this, he immediately feels terribly degraded. He makes an immediate postulate like, well, I'm just an invader from space. It's a typical postulate. Well, I've seen better days. That's another typical postulate. Well, I guess I was all through and washed up in my last life. I mean, he's quite alert, by the way, to what he's doing. He's quite conscious when he does this, but he just feels like he's worthless. He's saying he can't produce energy. So our problem in auditing is not so much to prevent this from happening, but to know how to remedy it. And the best method of remedying it is to use SOP-8C, and then before the person has too much chance to get fouled up by being out and scouting around the universe, we drill him into outflows, and we get him to a point where he can make energy beams and various types of outflows, such as sound, and that he can take in inflows of sound, we make it possible for him to make space and make this energy in space, and then educate him around to a point where he can actually make energy in this universe very easily. By a gradient scale, normally it's when an individual is trying it himself that he runs into this big problem, very degraded and going downhill and being very upset and popping back into his head again. Well, if an individual has the computation that he must do it himself and everybody else is going to prevent him from doing it, and he can only exteriorize himself, then the ordinary course of events is that he exteriorizes, tries to use some energy, doesn't really recognize what happens to him, it happens so fast. He starts to use some kind of energy, he can't handle the energy, it sticks or it won't stretch or it won't hit the terminals, or there's some miscomputation. And he recognizes his own inability, his own weakness. He says, I'm no good. And bang, goes back into the body again. Now, you come along as an auditor, and you try to audit him out of the body. Well, it's very silly of you to put in much time on it. If this person has been cognizant of Scientology for any length of time, of course, what you ought to do is just find out about these effects. Now, I've said that before, but let me specify this one particular effect of having been out and pop back in. You always should find out from the preclear what peculiar effects there are in his bank. What peculiar things have happened during his lifetime? He'll tell you very many strange things if you ask him very closely. He knows all about them. Or the E-meter will tell you, certainly. Now, one of these effects is, for instance, quite ordinary for somebody to get an explosion somewhere in his vicinity. Electrical explosion. Big resounding explosion in his stomach or in his face or something that's completely unexplained. He's just shattered after that. Maybe he even has a nervous breakdown as a result of it. He goes around jittering and he's very upset. Some incomprehensible thing has occurred to him, and now you as an auditor are very happily sailing into the case, and you already are sailing into the big I don't know. You're asking him to do something electrical, or you're asking him to change terminals, which is the same thing, practically, and he's had this enormous effect, and you haven't encountered it. There are very many ways to handle such an effect. Don't think for a moment that you're badly investing time to use a light technique, because light technique will do it faster and more permanently. But don't underestimate the amount of time it requires to clear something like this up. It's well invested, beautifully invested. Now, the easiest way to handle such an automaticity is, of course, just to make it handle as an automaticity. But that, for your purposes, when it comes to an electrical effect or an incident like exteriorization, sudden exteriorization and interiorization again, really, the shortest method is apparently the longest one, and that is a straight wire on where is the incident. In other words, the incident is not. Give me three places where this occurrence is not in present time. And you just go on and handle like that. You finally, you may have to go down into the past, and you may have to go into the future with the incident. But eventually, the one you're looking for, and which will arrive in due course, and will occur inevitably, is simply, it isn't in present time. Great conviction. It isn't in the past to amount to anything, except where it is, and that's probably placed on the time track. Something did occur, so what? And it certainly isn't in the future. So he won't expect it to happen again. So you've straight wired it in, through, and past. It must not duplicate. And so if this bad influence mustn't duplicate, then, you see, a good occurrence can duplicate. He has too many bad things in the bank, you see. He must think that all things must not duplicate, so he can't have good things again. And he must keep the bad things from duplicating to a point where he must keep everything from happening again. And so we get a case which is badly bogged down. Now, you audit this case. You pick up this individual, and without asking him any questions at all, you just start in at the beginning, and you start sawing on through. And half an hour passes, and nothing very much has happened. Another half an hour, and you decide to get experimental. You decide to outflow some more, and you decide to outflow some more. Another day goes by, and you audit this person again, and you decide some more outflow at him. And you run through some more techniques. Well, you're getting there, but boy, you're getting there the hard way. The easy way to get there is say, did you ever pop out of your body and have anything happen? Ask him this on an E-meter, and you got it cinched. The normal reaction is, when a case is having a rough time, yes. Yes, I did. Or I started to once, and I was interrupted in auditing. That's another reaction that you're liable to get. Or the next reaction would be on the electrical effects. Yes, I remember it was just about 2 weeks after I was brought back of the lines, and I was sitting there minding my own business, and all of a sudden there was a tremendous explosion in my chest, and it just shook me terribly, and I never mentioned it to anybody, but I had a terribly frantic feeling. I had to get up and walk a lot, and I haven't had to do that for years, he'll assure you quickly. He's still waiting for another explosion in his chest, you see. He's still holding on to that other one, saying it mustn't duplicate, so no effects must duplicate. Well, this is what's happening to your preclear. He's, quote, stuck on the track. The anatomy of being stuck on the track is this part of the track must not duplicate, and I must stay here and make sure that it doesn't. Of course, that's nonsense. Fellow's tied down. Well, that's stuck on the track. All phrases which stick an individual on the track are secondary to these occurrences. This is the exact occurrence that's sitting on you. You see, it's a kind of an engram. Highly specialized kind. Well, if you scout those down and then find out where they aren't in the present and where they aren't in the past and where they aren't in the future in that order, why, you'll get them. I remind you again, you find out where something isn't in the present many, many times, and then you ask him where it isn't in the past, and he's sort of foggy and doubtful about it. The next thing you do is to go back and find the places it isn't in the present. The order is present, past, and future. Now, if he's able to find it in the future, and he's very foggy on that, after you've done the past, you ask him about where it isn't in the future, and he... to God... kind of doubtful about this, you slide back into the past and ask him where it isn't in the past again, and then ask him once more. In other words, you go back one step. And that is the way that's handled. Now, how long can you expect to do something like this? Well, let me assure you that if you cleared up in the majority of cases which you've handled, one such piece of frightening, horrifying automaticity, you'd clear the case. So how many hours are you willing to spend on it? It doesn't matter how many hours you're willing to spend on it. It's whether or not you clear the case. Now, I called to mind a certain preclear some time ago who had an interesting incident occur. Had a leg immobility occur. The legs, this girl's legs went into a convulsion and then an immobility. And she was paralyzed for about a week. Very nervous. Wasn't expected to walk. And then gradually and very carefully working at it, began to walk again. Well, this girl comes along and just out of the blue as a pre-clear, and I start to process her and just go on with these techniques and just run just the most solid techniques. You know, just good creative processing and anchor points and so forth, and very little, very slight communication changes. Gee, it has about the same effect on auditors if he were standing there throwing dynamite into the middle of the street, you see, and he knows there's going to be a big explosion, and he keeps hearing a cap pistol go off. You get the idea. I mean, he just parades the works, and just hardly anything happens. Well, he's very prone to say, well, there's something wrong with these techniques. We've got techniques strong enough now so that if you merely kept hacking and hewing away, you'd eventually get there without this other data. But how do you shorten that up by about 16 dozen hours? That's an important thing. You communicate with the preclear. You want to find out what happened. Because obviously, if the techniques you're running on the preclear are not getting rapid effects as they would on the usual run of preclear, this preclear is preventing a duplication of some sort, and it will go into all facets of this preclear's life. It will go into this preclear's sexual behavior, energy production, the amount of space the person can have. No space is usually is what occurs as a result of it. No space in which something can duplicate. You see, the best way to fix it up so nothing will happen again, you know, won't duplicate, is to have no space. If you don't have any space, of course, nothing can happen. Simple solution, isn't it? Very agonizing one, just between ourselves. So this girl went along in this line. I processed her, I guess, for a couple of hours. I got her exteriorized somewhat on the basis of hooking up a truck winch, you know, a phaeton, and a team of horses to the body and pulling both ways. Got her out and got her doing some things out. And she's a little more able out, but not much. Quiet, real slow, you know, and apparently quite able. That was the fooler, you see. Apparently good communication, good response. Apparently quite able. But gee, the person wore glasses. And after hammering and pounding away, there was no change in the messed eyesight. Uh-oh. Gave her another 2 hours. Still no change in the messed eyesight. So I just said, whoa, what's this all about now? Whoa. Well, she came up with this incident. And I ran it and chewed it up. Spent about 2 hours doing this. And after that, every technique that was used on her simply increased her ability. Why? She was keeping her legs from being paralyzed again. So what was she doing? She was fighting paralysis. Well, this isn't a special case. I mean, all cases work like this. But what you call fighting paralysis would be fighting no motion, which would wind up in a no motion. And essentially, a Thetan has been doing that. He's been fighting paralysis. The one thing which frightens a Thetan is to be pinned in one place and fixed in one space. Which is frightening to him. He doesn't like this. And then he goes on the basis that he has to be there. That's your first type of inversion. After he's pinned there so long, then he gets frightened the other way around. What they call stir crazy. It comes from the social psychosis that the best thing to do with a criminal is to make him crazy so he's really dangerous. You fix somebody in space like that so long, and they're afterwards not able to control space, and so they really do weird and incredible things. Most of the criminals who go around killing people because of simple burglary, shooting cops and that sort of thing, 2-3-4-timers, and they've been driven mad by the state. Well, anyway, well, I guess it's almost anything so you can have a police force. It'd be all right if the average citizenry of the state wasn't disturbed by all this ruckus, and if it didn't crowd everything readable out of the newspapers. So the problem of this preclear is he's preventing duplication. Well, of course, essentially, this is the problem of any preclear and the problem of the messed universe itself. So we've got step 8, which is remedying this. But when you take off a couple of minutes, when you've gotten through outflowing the preclear for a long time, just take a couple of minutes off, find out how he's getting along. Very often helps. You'll find out he's in no better condition than when you started processing. Well, I don't care if you've only been processing for 15 or 20 minutes. If you're going to continue processing this preclear, and if you expect any results, you better find the non-duplicator. Just call it that. And this won't be duplicated. He won't duplicate it, and he won't do anything that'll even vaguely get it in there. So one of the better methods of getting rid of it is to get it out by negative orientation. Where is it not? Where is it not present, past, and future? You'll find out that you can get so monotonous about this, if you yourself are still upset on the subject of duplication, you can get so upset about this that you practically would rather shoot this preclear finally than to see him cleared. Because you can keep this up for 5 hours on this type of incident. Let's say this girl, for instance, to run enough techniques to clear up that tough incident was heroic. Just about all an auditor could tell. Well, the auditor isn't doing anything to amount to anything. The preacher isn't reacting hardly at all. It's just timeless pinned downness. So, however, how did this show up? Well, we'll take a similar case. It was processed by an auditor who was pretty good. I mean, this auditor is very good, but with a large tendency to be very flashy. Flashy techniques, use, very flashy pattern, and with a considerable inability to pay any attention to the preclear. This auditor is not too cleared up at the time. Well, he got a hold of a similar case, only this other case was a step one that remained in apathy. You know, step one, he exteriorized this case, and then it just didn't matter what he made this case create. It didn't matter what he made this case destroy. It didn't matter what registered type of performance he seemed to get from the case in terms of technique performance. Nothing was happening. I mean, he was just sort of looking at the idea of going out there for the next 15 hours of nothing happening. Well, he kept on hoping, and he went out there those 15 hours. About the end of that time, he got me on the phone, and he said, "This is incredible. It's the first time I've ever had this happen, but I've had this person 3 feet back of her head, and she was 3 feet back of her head, and the case hasn't moved since. Person exteriorized easily. Person is in all places. I asked this person to be. And nothing happens. Case doesn't improve. External perception's fair, but it doesn't improve. Motion of the case doesn't improve. No communication improvement, nothing. And I've been at this now for about 15 hours, and there's no change." I said, "Why don't you ask the case why they don't change?" And he took this as a gem of wisdom. And He did so. And the girl promptly told him. She was desperately afraid that an incident, more or less the kind I described, was going to occur again. You know, walking down the street, blue sky, nothing wrong, no emotional upset, nothing, and all of a sudden she caves in, nervous breakdown, 3 months in the hospital. The one thing that she wouldn't expect to happen happened. Well, evidently what had happened, some kind of an anchor point blew up or a ridge blew up in her face or something happened, you see. And I've run into other cases which, and by the way, you don't take this as data. This is just the foggiest supposition. Who gave every symptom of having been blanketed in this life. See, I mean, they just give every symptom of it. I don't say that they were. Because in each one of these cases, they blanketed themselves. But they, as far as you could tell, they'd been blanketed in this life. It finally worked out that they were so much in control of the electrical energy contained in blanketing that they might as well have blanketed themselves and actually supposed they probably had, and it was of no further interest to them, because that was the way the case had to be worked out. But here's this person, be sitting still, doing nothing to offend God or the devil or anybody, and just sitting there, and all of a sudden, crash, tremendous electrical explosion somewhere in their vicinity, headache, shattered morale. They don't walk out of the house for the next 5 years. See, nobody has ever asked what a nervous breakdown consisted of. Everybody knows, so nobody had to ask. Everybody knows nervous breakdown is caused by overwork. No, by the way, that one's wrong, because it's caused by people sympathizing with you for overworking. That's what causes nervous breakdown. Never occurs to anybody to break down because of work until somebody tells him he's liable to and tells him he better take a rest. So then after that, he'll break down when he stops work. That's the fatal thing to do, is to stop work. They never correlated this between the death rate of men who have retired. Right after they retire, they die. Nervous breakdowns, all sorts of things occur. It's because the handling of effort is a pleasure. Not because it's a sin or a punishment. Well, so we get into this problem of what happens to the preclear, and you hear vaguely that this person's had a nervous breakdown, and you just discount that, and you don't inquire any further into the case, and then you process the case and you get away with it. But there's nothing happens. It's unusual at all. You tell them to be 3 feet back of their head, and they aren't. And you run a mock up their body and destroy it a few times. Don't be 3 feet out of their head, and they are. And then they drill all right, and they go through this and that, and they're finally quite able, and they handle themselves beautifully, seem to be quite happy and content with life, and they go right on. Well, you've done your job. It's safe to clear, and that's that. You get to the next case, and maybe a little difficult or a little easier, and you get right away with it, and you didn't ask them anything about the past. You just pam, pam, techniques work, bang, zing, work perfectly. Particularly true if you get to working with kids. You get into sort of a rut. You say, be 3 feet back of your head, okay. Now I'll be, find an ash can, I'll be in that. Now I'll be in an electric light bulb, now I'll be in the middle of the sun, now roller coaster down one of the blades of the sun. Now you got that, now that's fine. Let's be over on the moon, now let's be in front of a meteor, now let's pass through it, now let's chase one down the sky. And you go on like this, and pamity, pamity, pam, now I'll be out in space someplace and make a noise. And just go on like this, and they just do everything you say, and that's perfect, and all of a sudden, you've got a tremendous guy on your hands. See, maybe only 8, 9, 10 years old, but it's tremendous. You say, now fish over the bank, get your Oxford education out. Oh, you went to Princeton. Oh, well, that's all right. Fish your Princeton education out. Okay, now sort through that and get what you need out of it. Throw out the unpleasant incidents. You got that? Yeah, okay. All right, now say something in Latin. Yeah, that's good. That's real good. Say something in French. Okay, that's real good. Now, you want to play the piano. You say you can play. Oh, all right, fish that out. Now plug that into the body. Got that all set now. All right, that's fine. And you've got a very surprising individual on your hands. So you do that, and you go on to your next case, and this is very successful, and you go on to the next case. And by this time, you're getting real nice and cocky, you see, and you go on to the next case, and crunch. You say something's broken down. Well, the first thing you want to blame you're apt to blame is technique, because that, in the past, has occasionally not been adequate to the situation. And the next thing you're liable to blame is the pre-clear. Well, why don't you blame you? Why don't you blame you? Now, I'm in a position where I can say that. Because what you did was accomplish a sin of omission. There are two kinds of errors. There are two kinds of crimes. Governments and universes in general, which have to have havingness and so on, all specialize on crimes of commission. But the truth of the matter is the only really bad one is the crime of omission. Omission. That's the important one. Nobody gets in trouble, however, in most governments and most police systems with crimes of omission. Fellow forgot to warn somebody or other that something's taking place, and somebody gets killed as a result, and so on. And they say, well, I forgot to warn him. So it's just as much his fault as though he'd gone out and shot somebody, you see, but it's not a crime. So it's very easy to look over these crimes of omission. And failing to assess a preclear is a crime of omission. And you can get away with it. And it's not recommended that you assess every preclear you run across. You can get away with it in an awful lot of cases. But remember, every time you start auditing a preclear without a good assessment, just along the lines that I've been giving you just now, I mean about electrical incidents and explosions, and you want to find out about various types of things that have occurred, you want to find out what they're not ready to duplicate. The easiest way to do is with an E-meter. Remember, every time you process a preclear and don't do an assessment, you are guilty. Whether you get away with it or not, you're guilty of the sin of omission. Now, most of the time when I start processing these days, I sail into a case without an assessment. And the only cases which have bogged under my auditing momentarily for 1 year happened to be three cases that I sailed into without any assessment. I audited one girl who was an easy case, obviously an easy case, audited her for 4.5 hours till 2 o'clock in the morning after I'd had a long, hard day. I thought that she would solve in about a half an hour merely because an auditor had been having trouble with this case. Instead of taking an assessment, I just simply sat down and started to audit this case. Listen, at 2 o'clock in the morning, a preclear is too tired to audit them. They're too tired. And this auditor had the preclear and restimulation at 10 o'clock that evening and sent her over for me to swamp up. So I started to swamp this preclear up, you see, and here I sit at 2 o'clock in the morning, still trying to swamp up a preclear. Well, now that's something. That is stretching it too far. Anytime you audit a preclear past midnight, you're in trouble. That's the truth, I'm telling you. That's just the way GE's work. You audit a preclear past midnight, and you're in trouble. Because the greatest incidence of death is at 2 o'clock in the morning. And even though they'd run very smoothly in the morning or afternoon, 10 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that's nothing. They'd run very smoothly at that time of day. The same case at 2 o'clock in the morning will bog. They won't be able to release locks or anything else. Well, I was still with the tiniest, lightest techniques trying to bring this case out of it enough so that we could quit. And found the resolution to the case, which I should have had 4 hours earlier at 10. Now, here was the case, all beautifully goggle-eyed and super restimulated, less so true than they had been at 10, but still in horrible condition. At an hour of the day when a GE just won't audit. And, what can you do? Well, I sent the preclear home taxi cab. She had something on the order of a nervous breakdown about 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. Was going to take the nearest boat for Siberia or something. Was corralled and shipped back to my office by the husband and arrived there at about 11. And at 11, when she arrived, I shut her down and I put E-meter cans in her hands and we did an assessment. And 20 minutes later, she was as right as rain. What was wrong with this case? One person, was really the key of the case. And that was Mother. She couldn't touch Mother. She couldn't go near Mother. And this particular case, of course, by what we're doing right now, couldn't duplicate Mother. And Mother was one of the most able, sane people on earth. But Mother, unfortunately, was consistently blamed by Father for Father's complete failure in the business world and every other world. And the girl was the ally of the father, you see, trying to buck up the old man all the time. And so didn't dare be Mother. And Mother was probably a pretty right guy, and Papa was hypochondriacal. So, couldn't touch Mama, couldn't be like Mama, couldn't do anything with Mama, and I just ran a gradient scale whereby she mocked up, which is to say created. We had to create Mama by footprints and shoes and a stocking at a time, and we finally created Mama, and then created enough Mamas so that we could knock off one Mama, and then we could mock up Mama in the place where the preclear was. She was exteriorized, you understand, all this time, which was what's incomprehensible about the case. We mocked up the preclear exteriorizing out of Mother's body, you see. And, the only live member of the family was Mama, and she was trying to prevent Mama. Total computation. She'd worked at it. This woman had worked at it for about 28 years, solidly, ever since she was a little tiny baby. And that was the story of her life, not being Mama. One of these cases where you hit one point in it. Well, I would have gotten the point immediately if I'd given her a create-destroy assessment on people. All I had to do was just start calling off the standard members of any Homo sapiens family. And I would have gotten a drop on Mama, which went, when I did get it, 15 dials. But this case could mock up everything, do everything. Perfectly able case. What's this case doing then, going into a flat spin on anything I ask this case to do? Well, the other two cases, same thing, just didn't do an assessment. So it isn't necessary for you to do an assessment on the majority of cases, but every time you omit it, remember that you are omitting something. Remember that you're guilty of a crime of omission. The safe thing to do and the practical thing to do as an auditor, is not to try to get out there at a flat run and super speed with each case. Process swiftly when you process, but go at it by knowing what you're processing and then finding out how the preclear is doing every once in a while. And if you start your session with an assessment, you just say, sit down, here are the cans. All right, now let's take Mama. Did you like Mama? Needle sits there. Do you like Papa? Needle sits there. Do you have any brothers? Needle sits there. Do you have any sisters? Needle sits there. Do you like boys? Needle sits there. You take a look at that needle. Stuck. When? Well, all right. Now, did something occur to you that upset you and so forth 10 years ago? 20 years ago? Needle trembles. 15 years ago? More than 15 years ago? A little less than 15 years ago? Well, a little more than 11 years ago. Sometimes I'll keep this up until I get the exact hour of the exact date. Say, come on, by this time, talk to the preclear. You know, you remember what happened, what occurred. Well, yeah. Yes, I was in the automobile wreck which killed my parents. Yeah, I'd been reading the funny paper, and it blew off the front seat into my father's eyes, and he swerved into the oncoming lane, and the car was wrecked. And so, otherwise, I'm all right. Well, what do you do with the incident? With SOPHC, you just saw right into the car wreck. That's all. You say to me, that's real fatal. Person isn't anyplace else. You say, well, there's ways and means of building up his morale. Doing this and that, straight wire, build him up. Yes, sir. If the case looks like it'd tip over, if you mention the incident too much, too solidly, Well, of course, you've got that second to the last list in self-analysis. Remember something real, remember time of good communication. So we'll just hand them that every once in a while and then just keep plugging on with going exactly where you're going. Now, you can run where isn't his body in present time. You can run almost anything. But they're going to get a big uncertainty on everything. Uncertain, because where are they? They're in a car wreck, which happened exactly maybe April the 3rd, 1933, whereby they caused the death of somebody or their parents or somebody. There they sit. Well, there's no sense in running that as an incident, because this probably would bog a case. I mean, this case is stuck that heavily, they probably bog on it. It'd be a lot more trouble than it's worth. You can't unburden the incident. You can run all the locks resulting from the car incident that have piled into it. But that, again, is very crude, because it's validating that bunch of energy. And the best way I know of at this time, and a very light way to handle the thing, is give me three places that car isn't in present time. And just go on from there and just take up the personnel in the wreck. And take up themselves and so on. In other words, just pry the whole thing loose and blow it. And look at the needle every once in a while and see when it gets free. But you really won't have to look at the needle. When you see that incident go free, your pre-clear's free. He's free to run on the track. Now, by the way, if you did this expertly, you could run engrams on him. Who wants to? And that doesn't have to be our goal anymore. We're bypassing results which we could have used desperately 3 years ago. Yes, you could with this type of straight wire and so forth, straighten somebody up. But there I'm talking about a case which is, you might say, has a basic simplicity. It has a basic simplicity. Most cases are a little more involved than this. And if you get a case at level 5, it won't be a simple case of stuck in most cases. A lot of these 5s are just a simple case of stuck. They're stuck in the between lives area or something, and they free up, just like I said. I mean, where isn't the incident? You nail it on the E-meter and then run it, and all of a sudden they don't have occlusion. Well, people get occluded and unoccluded, and they play tag with this occlusion because they're still worried about seeing. But there is one shotgun technique on this occlusion and on a 5, which quite often produces results. It'll be some variation of putting fear into the environment. That is to say, making the walls feel afraid and so forth, repetitively, one after the other. Not afraid of being uncertain, but afraid of just it's fear. Fear. Now, you can tell physiologically quite often if this particular thing is wrong with a case. Now, I won't go so far as to say that this is wrong with every case. I won't go that far. Theory dictates that it is wrong with every case. Theory says that it would be wrong with every case because it comes right back into the theory of energy. But I haven't run enough cases to tell you whether or not, with this particular technique, to tell you whether or not it is true of every case that is having difficulty. But it's certainly part of the difficulty of any case. It's a little thing called security. Fear of the future is born out of the economic stress of the past and present. This security is in itself the uncertainty of anxiety. Anxiety is an uncertainty. And this is very simple, really, to figure out. Now, if the fellow is dependent upon consuming energy, he, of course, is then dependent upon the economic structure of the social order in which he lives. Since he must agree with that economic structure, ordinarily, even if it's a hunting economy, you see, he has to agree to some degree with that structure in order to continue to consume energy. It's like animals that eat local weed. You see them in the West sometime after they've eaten a little local weed. They have to eat more local weed, and they have to eat more. And they just stagger round and round, and they go crazier and crazier, and they die. They eat it once, and it becomes compulsive. Same thing would occur to a dope addict. A dope addict who would take up something like cocaine or heroin. not opium. Opium doesn't seem to be the same order. It's merely a sedative. Heroin, cocaine, someone starts in on that line, and they have to have more and more cocaine and more heroin, whatever it is, in order to continue in the same state of elation. And, of course, the state of elation gets less and less and less and less. It deteriorates. Well, now compare this, and I hate to have to mention this, but compare this to things which have become so rabid for attention that they must condense attention in order to have life. Condense and consume attention in order to have life. They eat each other's bodies. They're so anxious for attention, they eat each other's bodies. That is essentially eating. The basic mechanic of eating, or our uses here, is they crave attention so much that they have to consume any deposit of attention. And, of course, the body in this classification could be called a deposit of attention. So here is the problem of the consumption of energy. Once they start depending upon exterior energy and depending upon that energy in order to have energy, this puts them into the economic structure, but solidly, since a man will starve to death ordinarily in a few days, puts him into the economic structure so solidly that he must then continue to agree in order to continue to eat. And the continuation of eatingness and the continuation of agreeingness compound each other until he is entirely dependent on the economic structure and so sinks below it and becomes a slave. You are looking then at the deterioration of self-determinism drawn against the curve of the deterioration of the individual's production of energy. And when he produces less and less energy and consumes more and more energy, his self-determinism follows on the same curve. So that when we have security in the future, we are back to a problem of energy as I discussed earlier today. And this earlier lecture posed some of the problems, just as this lecture tonight has, but it hasn't given you any rote solution. I told you there are many possible solutions. Here you have the problem of a stomach. What does man obey? If man is consuming other bodies in order to live, then the most craven part of him would, of course, be his stomach. And this is true. The stomach is a fairly cowardly entity. And when we go into the entities, we find that that entity which is most afraid is the stomach entity. We start examining them with an e-meter. It's very cute examining entities. The GE's entities will endlessly put up with being examined. They'll just go on and lie and lie and lie and lie and lie. And they're all pretty decayed. And the one thing they can do is withhold information from the analytical self. That's the only thing they're doing. They're holding back information. They say the awful things which you did made it impossible for us to release to you any further power than you have. And this is a big joke, you see, because they don't release any power. They haven't got any power to release. There aren't any incidents that have occurred, you see, but they keep saying, well, that awful thing you did, and so on, and we're not going to tell you about that. And this is typically an entity sort of an operation. Well, you don't have to worry much about entities, what they are and where they aren't, and so on. It's merely an interesting fact that when you start investigating the entities with an e-meter, that you get a set pattern of responses. You get the same number of entities per body. And this is very interesting investigation. It, however, is in parascientology, what these entities are, who they are, who put it together, and that sort of thing. That's completely beyond our care how rather than our know-how. We could go in and know-how about it, but it's beyond our care how. But we don't have no need any of the data. It was tracked down and exhausted. I just beat the stuff to death trying to find an answer which was a broader and more applicable answer and clearing in that particular field, and it turned up a lot of good laughs. But until fairly recently, had not yielded any great gain until I equated energy consumption as the degradation point and the entity of the stomach as that thing which begins to be a model for the person who is too sold on energy consumption. And it gives us a technique because the body starts to eat itself up. The stomach entity starts to eat the rest of the body. The body itself starts to turn into the shape of a stomach. Now, this sounds awfully crazy, too. As a matter of fact, it is crazy. It is crazy, and that's why we're talking about it. Well, there's a definite method of running it in creative processing we immediately have. You take that blackness that this pre-clear, which has a lot of occlusion, has running, and just have him feed to this blackness bodies. You'll find out they'll mock up for a split instant and disappear. We just let this area eat up bodies. His body. I've known for a long time that if a five would just sit there and mock up his body long enough and often enough, just a couple of his bodies particularly, just long enough and often enough, just go on and on, just hours and hours and hours of doing this one thing, he gets to feeling kind of soft in the head and kind of stupid and awfully upset, but all of a sudden he'll start to get mock-ups. But that's funny because it's his body that is the trick. The stomach entity has been denied havingness to the degree that it has taken over the control of the individual and so controls his future by continuing to compress him into the economic and social structure which demands that he continue to consume rather than to produce. And you get a society going down tone scale. You get it consuming more and more and more and more and more and producing less and less and less and less and less per unit in the society until you get the corn and games type of government of the Roman Empire. Corn and games. Rome could loot the world, and the way it kept its own population in order was simply to cater to the stomach entity, which was lots of dead bodies in the arena and lots of corn in the belly. And this, of course, solved the problem for evolution continually and consistently. So, there's one solution in creative processing, and that is a solution. Now, here's another solution in terms of duplication. You start putting into the walls, afraid I will starve. No, I won't starve. Like, no, I will eat. Just keep it up, round and round and round. Not adding in any uncertainties into the thing. You always run these things on the two certainties. To run out an uncertainty, you don't run an uncertainty. You run the two certainties of positive and negative. That is, the certainty that something exists, the certainty that nothing exists, and you'll get the uncertainty which results from these two positives. Because no juice is running midway between two electrical poles. The juice is at the poles, as far as you're interested in. All right. We have then actually everything that we can use as a technique would be used in this fashion. But you'll find it'll run this way. I can't have money. I must have money. I can't have money. I must have money. Or we start wasting food and wasting future starvation. Wasting, you know, in brackets. On step four, we can do it in all these steps, but the most effective one that changes perception fast enough is to run it as in step eight, just to keep putting it monotonously in three set positions and put it back in three set positions again and go over it and 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 over it. And if you were to run out the maybe on the situation, you would simply continue with this. Now, some interesting and strange things occur. The body is guilty, as I have said before, of many more overt acts than it has received motivators. It continues to consume bodies and is not itself consumed. So any creative process which permits the stomach, or the body and the stomach, to be consumed exteriorly by papa, by mama, by wolves, by sheep, by cows, by pigs, by chickens, anything that's food, you see, reverses the overt act motivator sequence on the subject of eating, and so relieves the anxiety about the future, and so relieves the can't stand it, something bad is going to happen, and I will starve, which runs also back through, up from degradation, and which rehabilitates the ability to create. The only thing wrong with commercial art occurs when the individual writes to eat, when he paints to eat, and we get an anxiety in eventually concerning his eatingness. And it's very, very unreasonable. There's nothing he can unreason. Now, you notice that the moment you did duplication, some of the cases, a certain level, the second they start doing duplication, why, didn't matter what they were duplicating, the place it kicked was the stomach. That's chronic. Now, you can expect some freaklers to get really sick with this. So what? That sickness is what they're trying to bypass. That sickness is what they don't want duplicated. And that's the worst thing to fight, is one of these anxiety stomachs. It can get so bad that I have seen a criminal being put in a cage, you know, and being treated with all the humaneness of the Metropolitan Police Force. Just being put in a cage, become so violently ill. I've seen him, this guy, boy, was a tough boy, you see. This amuses cops a lot when they see this happen. They don't realize that they have nothing to do with it. seen him get down and beg and plead for the means with which to kill himself. Why? It's not because he's scared, as they say, or because he's yellow. They've keyed in one of these anxiety stomachs, and it's one of the most fantastic sensations that a man has ever experienced. It has volume. And there's where fear ordinarily hits and resides, is in the stomach. Because the stomach is the center of contest. The stomach is the thing which registers the incoming eaten energy, which is replacing the thetan's ability to produce. Now, you always find this particular mass of energy on a preclear who's having any kind of trouble. You will find some sort of an outflow from the skull forward. There'll be some kind of an outflow pattern from the skull forward out to in front of the body, and it turns back and then runs back in on against his stomach. He's also got tubes and things and channels and communication lines which are running from his head to his stomach. Now, he's got others that have to do with his mouth. And when he has created in order to eat, he's probably created mess-wise, you know, created with mess energy, bleeding all the time that he's using the body's energy, and he keeps creating in order to eat. He just drives the body into the overt act motivator sequence of eating and not being eaten, just deeper, deeper, deeper. Creating and not being created is equally so, because it's messed facsimiles. That's this type of facsimiles made through messed and so forth, by the GE, which are very aberrative. The others aren't particularly. Thetan can handle his own facsimiles easily. All right. The problem resolves on starvation pretty fast. And it is a recommended procedure. You understand that isn't the only technique there is to do this. And this isn't the only thing you'll find wrong with the case in the long run. But his fear of the future is a fear of not eating in the future. And the fear of not eating in the future drives him back compulsively away from creating energy, because he's so fixed on the idea that he has to have energy manufactured exterior to himself to consume so that he can work, so that he can create. He always has to have energy exterior to himself. Now, if you can make him anxious about it and fixate him on this, of course, you take him completely away from creation. So he doesn't produce anything. So he doesn't exteriorize. Because he thinks he's sitting there, mobile, only so long as he can drain the body of its energy. Though we get the most basic effect there is not sex, it's food. Okay.